Title of my sermon today is God's ears are bigger than yours. Write that down. God's ears are bigger than yours. So many people think God can't hear anything they say. But his ears are a lot bigger than yours. Isaiah chapter 65 verse 24 says, "And it shall come to pass." I love that. "That before they call, I will what? Answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will what? Let's read it again. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, before you got a problem, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God's ears are bigger than yours. Think about that for a minute. Let me read it again. "It shall come to pass." So that means it already has in some people's lives and will in others. "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Write this down. God is always more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. God is always more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. He anticipates our necessities, our actions, and our prayers. God knows what's going to happen before it happens, so he's ahead of us before we even start to even think about it, much less speak about it. And while we're speaking, he's going, yeah, I got it, yeah. Let me say it again. God is always more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. He anticipates our necessities. He anticipates our actions and our prayers. You see, when I step out by faith and believe the word of God, God's already stepped there. All I'm doing is stepping in his footprint. He is the one that's cut the course for me to walk. Because before I can even answer, and while I'm yet, before I even ask, and yet while I'm talking, his answer is in multiplication for me. He's always more than enough. That's why he calls himself El Shaddai, El Elyon, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Roho, Jehovah Sid Kanu, Jehovah Raha, oh Lord, Jehovah Jireh. Think about that. He covers every area of our lives simply because he knows, he anticipates our necessities, our actions and our prayers. I have to just tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even really have to ask God about my needs. He's already supplying my need before my need comes up to be supplied. You see what I'm saying? That's called living off the top of the barrel. You ought to write that down. In other words, I go to do something before I go to do it. He already has my answer before I even say it. He's just waiting for me to open up the pathway and the channel for me to get it. He anticipates my necessities. He anticipates, and I love that, my actions. And he anticipates my prayers. He says, "Jesse's going to pray for this next week. Let's prepare for it before he says anything." That's what Isaiah 65 is saying there. Let me read it again. "It shall come to pass that while before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." It's the same way you can put it like this. You may be thinking of a Christmas gift before Christmas. You are preparing something to be a blessing to your wife, your family, friend, whoever you may be doing that to. You're already participating or anticipating that, and now actions moving you toward that. See what I'm saying? And you may have already got it and got it stored away. It's called layaway. They don't hardly have that anymore. Do they have layaways anymore? I don't know if maybe they do. But I never did like layaway, because when mama put something on layaway, that means we were never going to get it. Because she was going to call the store back and say, "Put it on the shelf." I wanted to cut the phone lines every time she said I put it on layaway. But see, God don't do that. See, God's ears are bigger than ours. Every time I've ever stepped out, I've had God say, "Jesse, I would like to surprise him once." And I tell you how I've done it. When I just brought him an offering, he said, "Do you know who I am?" "Yeah." "Do you know that I can create anything if I don't have it?" "Yeah." "Do you know how blessed I am?" "Yeah." "Well, why are you doing that?" "Just love you." "Jesse, you did it for me? You would do this for me?" "Well, yeah." Now that's surprising to God. That's what Abraham did. See, God can block his mind for the things that you're going to do if he chooses to. He does that. He can do that as well as open his mind to know what's happening. He did it with Abraham over Isaac. When Isaac was, when Abraham was about ready to slew Isaac, the Lord said, stop now because I know. See, he had blocked his mind to see what he's going to do. He wanted a surprise. Now because I know you don't have to offer up your son, Abraham, I will offer up my son. See, and when he offered up his son, it brought us into sonship with God Almighty. So let me say it again. God is always more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. He anticipates our necessities, our actions, our prayers. Well, Brother Jesse, how come I can't seem to get it? Write this down. Our limited intelligence, imperfect sensibility, and feebleness of execution makes us slow to response. Let me say that again. Our limited intelligence, because we're trying to thank God with the soul instead of with the spirit. Our imperfect sensibility. I know God wants me to believe in impossibilities. That's an imperfect sensibility. Our feebleness of execution. I don't think I can ever do that. Makes us slow to respond. You see, when I step out by faith, I'm ready. See, when I run a race, I run to win. But who am I competing against? Not the guy next to me, me. Because see, if you can figure out, if you can stand more of the pain than most people, you will win. But you're going to have to push yourself. But you see, sometimes our intelligence gets in the way. That's the problem with a lot of preachers. When God tells them to do something, well, Jesus, how are we going to do that? He didn't ask you. That's not your business to know how. You've heard me say it before. It's your business to believe it. You see what I'm saying? Well, how am I going to do that? That's not your business to know how. See, that's your limited intelligence. That's your imperfect sensibility. It's your feebleness of execution. Everything God's ever told me to do, I couldn't do. So guess what happened? He got the glory for everything. I couldn't take any glory for it because I couldn't build this. I am not a plumber. Kathy says, don't let Jesse fix anything because it's going to break. She told me one time I fixed an electrical socket, and when they plugged something in, the toilet flushed. I don't know. I think she's lying over that, though. I just think so. Glory to God. I am pretty bad with a screwdriver. Let me just say that. Our limited intelligence, our imperfect sensibility, and our feebleness of execution makes us slow to respond. Sometimes Kathy's slow to respond. Sometimes Jesse's slow to respond. Sometimes you slow to respond, but God's never slow to respond. Never. He's always there in the right place at the right time. Now, he's never early, but he ain't never late. Now, I wish he would be early sometime. But he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why God said it's better that I go away. Because if you think about it, the disciples never really did their best till they couldn't see Jesus. That's when they walked into their ministry to the fullness. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So when I saw this, I said, you know, Lord, I'm not as smart as I think I am. He said, that's correct. But if you'll use the intelligence of your spirit through a renewed soul and a crucified body, you can think like I think. I said, can I? He said, yeah, have the mind of Christ. He said, when you start walking in my mind, I start talking to you about what to do on this planet and other areas. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. That's the power of the word of the living Jesus. So God is always ready. Let me say it again. God is always more ready to hear than we are ready to pray. He anticipates our necessities, our actions, our prayers. That's point one. Point two, our limited intelligence, imperfect sensibility, and feebleness of execution makes us slow to respond. But what should we do? Go with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. This is how God moves you so that you cannot be so slow into the things that God wants you to do, wants you to receive. Do you know it's amazing that you're slower in receiving than you are on sowing? You say, oh, no, I give quicker than I'm. No. You can give quicker. But, boy, you think, well, certainly God can't bless me that big. But, see, God is trying to be a blessing to you. Now, watch what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. He says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I believe you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So if you learn to function in the unction, it's amazing what your unction will function for. Now, don't ask me to say that again. Glory to God. That took a while to say that. An unction. Now, what does that mean? Write this down. An unction is not just a physical hunch. You're not dealing here in your soulless realm. An unction is not just a physical hunch, but rather a direct command from the Holy Ghost leading you to do the will of the Father. It's not a physical hunch. When you see me operate in the Spirit of God, I'm not moving on a physical hunch. If I did that, I'd be missing it. I'm preaching, man, y'all shouting right now. Do you see that? See what I'm saying? No, that's because I'm trying to deal with my imperfect sensibility there or my limited attack. No, I'm moving in the Holy Ghost. Let me say it again. That unction is not just a physical hunch, but rather a direct command from the Holy Ghost leading you to do the will of the Father. I find when I'm moving in the Spirit of God, preaching the Word of God, I am doing the will of the Father. His will be done in earth and on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? See, so I'm not just having a hunch. I don't do those things. I don't live by a hunch. You'll wind up being the hunchback of Notre Dame if you do. You walk all messed up, bless God. But when you listen to the Holy Spirit, but just how do I know the voice of God? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. Now let me help some of the sheep here. Glory to God. You ever know something about a shepherd? He has a staff. But if you're a preacher, never give a sheep a staff. He'll beat you with it. He don't know what to do with it. It's not a staff to beat somebody's brains out. It's a crook on it to keep a sheep from getting eaten up by wolves. You see, just because you prophesy don't make you a prophet. You understand? Just because you went and preached a meeting don't mean that you're an evangelist. Just because you helped build a church don't mean you was an apostle. Just because you can counsel real good don't make you a pastor. Just because you can break the word of God don't make you a teacher. Why? Let me tell you what. How many times you've heard people teach things they never lived by? They're not teachers. They just know how to read. But see, a true teacher lives by what he teaches. A true pastor lives by what he pastors. A true apostle lives by what he creates or apostle. A true prophet lives by what he prophesies. A true evangelist lives by his evangelism. Oh, Lord Jesus, do you see that? Do you understand what I'm saying? So just because you can have an outline don't mean that you can speak. You might be able to speak, but he that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. How many lives are you changing and affecting? Not for just some sporadic blessing once in a while. I'm talking about turning somebody completely around and make them go the other way. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, God. Hallelujah. I love this stuff. An unction is not just a physical hunch, but rather a direct command from the Holy Ghost leading you to do the will of the Father. Now, you see, that will help you get away from limited intelligence, imperfect sensibility, and feebleness of execution. Oh, glory to God. Do you see that? See, now, what happens when you fail to hear the voice of God? Watch this. When you fail to hear the voice of God, it produces distance from him, terror of him, and delusion about him. And that's most of what I just said there is really the crux of religion, of Christianity today. Most people are afraid of God. They're disillusioned about what's going on. You never know what God's going to do. That's why most preachers can't answer Larry King correctly. Scared to step out because they're operating in fear. Worried about what people think about them and their ministry when they ought to be standing up for the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Who cares what they think about you? Let me help you. They don't like you. You see what I'm saying? Let me say it again. So when you fail to stand for God and when you fail to hear the voice of God, what happens? You feel a distance from him, a terror of him. Oh, God, he's going to kill me, or a delusion about him. You never know what God's going to do. I know exactly what God's going to do. He gave me a book. He said, follow my rules. That's what I do. My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that goes out of my lips. He said, my ears are a lot bigger than yours, Jesse. Do you see that? That's why Jesus kept saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. So I've learned to function in an unction. See, and an unction is part of the anointing of God coming through your soulless realm out of your spirit to your body. Did you get that? See, it's coming out of those areas to your body. Functioning in that anointing is an earned privilege. Boy, when God says you can move in his anointing, that's as good as it gets. It's an earned privilege. Ooh, Lord. Write this down. Functioning in that anointing is an earned privilege that comes with redemption to the believer. Oh, Lord Jesus. The anointing in the Holy Ghost is like blood in your physical body. That anointing starts flowing, Lord. And people say they can physically feel it. It becomes tangible. It's like blood in your body. It brings life to the church and life to Christianity. That's why people get excited about miracles and healing. That's why people get, oh, because, man, it's life flowing. Look what the Lord hath done. But if you don't, if you let your limited intelligence, your imperfect sensibility, and your, feebleness of execution shut you down, my Lord, your unctions then turn into physical hunches. And that's why you get in debt and you can't pay for your church. It's amazing me how many people build churches and then lay off people. Am I telling the truth? They say, we want you to give because God's going to bless you. Girl, we're going to build a new church. We want you to give because God's going to bless you. We're going to build a new church. I've seen this happen so many times. It's amazing. People start giving, and all of a sudden, they start going over what they're supposed to spend because they're not good business people, and then they blame you. Well, the people wanted it. No, the people didn't want it. You wanted it. And then all of a sudden, now you got to lay off a guy who's been given to your minister to help build your church. How many of you have experienced that at times? You might have seen some of that. Maybe not work for the church, but you've seen it happen. All of a sudden, what happened there? Well, they got into a physical hunch there. You see, their limited intelligence went to work on them. First thing first, they stepped out on something they believed instead of stepping out on something they know. They didn't know how to answer. They let the world determine how much something costs instead of the Holy Ghost. They weren't willing to stand up for God. See, so they just let the, quote, they took counsel from the ungodly. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But barred he that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. When you start hearing what God says, and sometimes what God says is totally impossible, but it sure is a lot easier than 30 years of that note beating your brains out every month. Isn't that amazing? You know why it takes 30 years? That's how much they're charging you. That's how much money. They're going to make sure you pay back three times the amount of money. Lord, gee, nothing wrong with borrowing money, but I'm saying it'd be nice if you would lend it to them and charge them the 30 years. See how much they like it. When you fail to hear God's voice, it produces distance from him, terror of him, delusion about him. So if you're sinning, and if you sin, don't run from him. Run toward him. He's in the sin business. I said, I tell people all the time, my God. He said, but I'm bad. That's what God does. He fixes bad things. I had a girl one time. She said, but you don't know how bad I am. I said, you just don't know how good God is. Not long ago, Kathy had got a note from a person that said that I sent every day. Did you read my letter? I sent every day. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Okay, now we know what you do. Let's change it. I'm so glad you had enough guts to say, I need to change. You see? There's been times I've messed up. Let me tell you what, I do mess up sometimes. When I mess up, I don't go, oh, no, I fall on my face. I don't care where I'm at. I just say, Jesus, forgive me. And if I sin publicly, I usually repent publicly. I don't like to because it's embarrassing. One time I chewed out one of my staff. I got in the flesh. You might have heard me say this. I have a lot of vehicles in the ministry. Well, when I walked out there one day, right before I walked out, they told me, said, Brother Jesse, we have a dent in the van. We have a little slight scratch. I said, what happened? Well, it was in Chicago, and we just had a little slight scratch then. I said, okay. Well, you know, accidents happen. Well, I never thought nothing about it. About an hour and a half later, I walk out there, and I looked at that. Then the whole door's caved in. That made me mad. But that's a lie. I lost it. I could hear the Lord say, calm it down. And I blamed it on Cajun and Tabasco sauce and Boudin and all that kind of stuff. No, it's just pure flesh. I became delusional. I didn't want to talk to God. I separated I made the distance. Lord, you going to forgive him? I'm going to beat that sucker's brains out for tearing up your truck. I said, how did this happen? You call this a dent? What is your problem? This is a dent to you? I like to see a wreck that you call a wreck. How did you say? He said, well, we drove up a brick wall. What? How'd you drive up a brick wall? I got so mad. We used to have a guy named Ray work for us. I said, what are you looking at? He goes, I'm gone, boss. I'll see you later. Man, I screamed at him, man. I get out of here. But I was so mad I could spit. I said, I'll fire him. I wanted to speak in tongues of my own. And the Lord said, stupid. Oh, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. I lost my temper. He said, you found it. You found a whole can, boy. You didn't lose this temper. I walked into the ministry. Told the reception, get everybody in this foyer. I called everybody. They all looking like they knew the boss. He going to fire everybody, sell the ministry, and he quit. I said, first thing I want to tell you something. That ain't a dent. Then I start thinking about, oh, no, wait, I got to get away from the dent here. I said, I want to publicly apologize for everybody that was out there. I lost it. Now, Ray was in it. He's just trembling. I said, Ray, I apologize for hollering at you. Oh, that's okay, boss. I used to. My wife does it all the time. I said, that isn't this shit. We're not talking about your family relationship. I'm talking about me here. I publicly apologize. I've sinned before God. I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I asked y'all to forgive me. Everybody went, okay. Okay. But Kathy, you know, she got to give you that shot. She said, I told you that temper going to get you in trouble. But no, you won't listen to me. I said, woman, I'm going to put a dent like on you like I put that truck. She said, don't you even say that. You better not hit me ever. You understand me? I'll call God and he'll wither your hand up. You'll walk around like this for the rest of your life. I said, okay. Sometimes I've seen people like this. I said, I'll wither you. He said, God will wither you. Boy, that's a strong word, withered. I said, forgive me. Now, all I wanted to do was tell me the truth. Maybe they're a little scared. I don't know. But that wasn't the issue. The issue is if you have a problem, you come and talk about it. And you don't try to make excuse. I blew it. Okay. Wait a minute, you said you're calling upon the mercy. You ever hear people say, I throw myself upon the mercy of the court? That there is some credibility to that. Even though you may be bad as all get out, and you may get a rough sentence, but it's at least people see that you inside you're repenting over this instead of just trying to get to a lesser sentence. So God's ears are bigger than ours. When you understand this, then you'll understand what Daniel said in chapter 2, verse 22. Daniel 2, verse 22, you can go to it if you like. He said, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Well, turn with me to Daniel. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Did you get it? Daniel. About the middle of the Bible there. Chapter 2, verse 22. One of the greatest statesmen God ever called to his ministry. And in verse 22, he said, he revealed the deep and secret things. Oh, I love that. It's good to know what's going on before you get there. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. How can God know what's in the darkness? Because light exposes anything that's dark. It opens up the darkness. Do you understand that? He revealeth. I love this. He revealed the deep and secret things. My God, I love that. When you understand that, then you'll understand. And he knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Oh, I've had God reveal so many things. So I was able to minister correctly. I was able to be careful not to do this and not to do that. I've been criticized, me and Kathy, because we evacuated during Hurricane Katrina. Well, we were under mandatory evacuation here at St. Charles Parish. But, you know, I've said it so many times. You know, Kathy said, God, believe in evacuation, Jesse. What? Was he scared? No. He told Mary and Joseph, get out of town. There's a crazy man wanting to kill Jesus. Wait till the sucker died and come on back. That was an evacuation in a sense. Now, God could have went in there and cleaned the house, but that's not this. He's giving people time to repent. And if they won't repent, then judgment will come. So let me say it again. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. He revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what's in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Oh, I like that. When you understand that, then you see, when I hear all these people talk about Christianity, write this down. This is a strong point. Modern Christianity, watch this, is long on talk and short on conduct. Modern Christianity, long on talk and it's short on conduct. They use the language of power and they produce the deeds of weakness. There is no weakness in God at all when he hears what you say. Let me say it again. Modern Christianity today is long on talk and short on conduct. Let me stop there. You've heard me say it. Never judge Christianity by the conduct of Christians, because you're going to mess up. You're going to hate it. You judge Christianity on the conduct or by the conduct of Christ, the person. Why? Because they use the language of power and produce the deeds of weakness. That's what modern Christianity is. They talk about power, but never produces any power. It's always in the future. When it comes, and it will come. Hey, I'm living today. I need some answers today. How many of y'all need some answers today? You see what I'm saying? So what you speak should come to pass. Bible said what you say, not what you confess, will come to pass, right? Well, bless God. That's on the good. People say they believe it strong on the bad side, but they don't believe it on the good side. My mama believed that so strong. She used to tell me, "Boy, do you know if you do this, I'm going to tell you, the devil going to get you, boy. I'm telling the devil going to beat you over. I'm telling you, oh, it's coming against you. But if I did something good and I was believing God, boy, you can't. You got to give and don't expect nothing in return." In other words, it's okay if you do something bad, because boy, you're going to get a harvest. But if you do something good, you're not going to get a harvest. Now, what's wrong with that picture? That's stupid in that picture is what that is. The Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth. Whatsoever. That don't mean there was bad or good. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you understand what I'm saying? It may not be what it is. When you understand that God's ears are bigger than yours, he's hearing everything. He's hearing this message this morning. He heard it before I preached it. You see what I'm saying? That's why I can preach it through the anointing that's in me. So I'm not dealing with a physical hunch. I knew what I was going to do when I got here. I wasn't trying to get it done. I just knew it. Bless God, I just knew it. Glory to God. Not believe it, I just knew it. I'm stepping out by faith. I am believing God for 1 million partners. Jesus, I'm going to do it. I'm believing. I got a $6 billion plan to preach the gospel worldwide. You heard me right? 6 billion with a B. B-I-L-L-I-O-N. Don't shake me. Oh, you never can get that kind of money. You bet you watch me do it. I ain't talking about myself. Oh, there ain't nobody giving that kind of money away. Who was that guy? Warren Buffett gave away $37.1 billion. Bill Gates' wife gave billions of dollars out there. If you use correctly and just not just so you can put greed on yourself, but use correctly, you can touch the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to have a plan. How do I know that? I heard it from the voice of the Lord. He got big ears. He heard me, and then he started making me say it. He said it before I ever said it. He had to convince me to say it. I thought, Lord God, I'm working 90 to nothing now. He said, well, do 100 to nothing. We got to touch a world. Time's closing up. We're on a sliver here, boy. He said, if you back up, people going to die and go to hell. Do you understand that? He who wins souls is wise. My God, do you see that? Oh, Lord. So modern Christianity today is long on talk and short on conduct. They use the language of power and produce the deeds of weakness. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. Look at it. It says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Look at that, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. Don't let men, that's your faith. Whose faith? Your faith. Not God's faith, your faith. Should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, if you talk strong, then strong things ought to happen. If you talk power, then powerful things ought to happen. If you are a power lifter, you ought to better lift some weights. Am I telling the truth? You seen these power lifters? Y'all think they're fat. Well, they may have fat on, but they can crush your head with one hand. They can pick up full 500 pounds and just do whatever, like you do something with 25 pounds. There used to be a big, years ago, I remember, I'm in a different generation, I'm a lot older than some of y'all. There was a guy from Russia, I can't remember his name, Sergio something. This guy was huge, he had a big belly, but that guy was phenomenal. He pick up more weight than any human being. And you know, he did, and he was big and he looked strong, but you know, the guy that was all cut up and had the muscles, you know, Mr. Olympia, he looked like he was more powerful. But those guys are not weak neither, they are very, very strong. But compared to those guys, those power. They are power lifters. It takes power to lift what they do. And they produce it. It'd be kind of stupid to say, I can pick up 400 pounds and you can't pick up 40. That's what Christianity is saying. Well, we pick up 400 pounds. Well, we got a 40 pound problem. Oh, you think you're crazy, but you never know what God gonna do. Man, they got some women stronger than men. I've seen some of these women, Lord Jesus, I shook some women's hand, almost broke my knuckle. They go, how you doing, brother? I said, hello. I picked up that woman in California. Remember that lady? Yeah, she was a weightlifting champion. She walked up to me. Glory to God. And her husband is huge. He said, you see my wife? Yeah. I said, man, one day I'll be as big as you. He said, be as strong as my wife. She can whip me. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, I'm a power lifter. My wife can pick up more than me. I can. You ought to say, she come walking up there. She's a beautiful woman. She said, and she just grabbed my hand. And when she did, I knew it. I was controlled by the power. I went, hell. And she said, she just grabbed me like, I love you, Brother Justin, picked me up a little bit, took me a couple of steps, set me down. That's a powerful woman, brother. I said, partners with my men. Sweet people. She's wonderful, man. And he brings his wife to those, the meets, I guess, what do you call them? I thought, man, I'd like to go see her live. I said, I'm amazed at her. She is very feminine. She's very beautiful, lady, sweet. But I'll tell you one thing. You don't want to trust. Let me tell you something, woman. She'll crush your face. That girl, powerful. She's strong. She pick up weight like a man, son. And a husband saying, I can't break records like she can. Well, she ain't short on talk. And she's not short on deeds. She said, I can do it. I asked her kids. I said, your mama's as strong. She said, stronger. Mama can do anything. I said, yeah, I understand that. I said, pray for the healing of my hand. You like to broke my knuckles when you shook my hand here. Glory to God. That girl was something in boy. See, many people believe God is not listening. So consequently, he can only speak with signs and wonders. God has a voice. See, people think God can only speak with signs and wonders. Let me tell you what God can do. God can physically talk to you in English, French, Spanish, German, Farsi, whatever that is, Hebrew, Persian, Arabic. He can speak your, he would like to talk to everybody physically. But most people don't stay in prayer long enough for God to say something. They say, God never talks to me. Because as soon as you finish praying, you take off. He said, oh, Jesus, I just ask you to help Lord Jesus. Please bless us and help us. Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you take off. God goes, I'll see you next Sunday. And you don't talk to him during the week. Boy, and it's a miracle of God to get you to come out on a Wednesday night. Boy, did it hit there, didn't it? You can tell when it hits. People go, there's some people, if God came on a Wednesday night, they wouldn't know it till Sunday. They come to us and say, well, everybody is. Oh, the rapture happened last Wednesday. He did. Well, how come he didn't pick me up? Don't shout me down when I'm looking. You can tell when it is. People going, I know you're busy, but that ain't an excuse. I know you're tired. That ain't no excuse. Because how many times you've been busy and you went to work? How many times you would, oh, how many times you was tired but you wanted to do some business? Look at the men, they got it. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Say, Mom, we're going to do some business here. But you were tired, that's all right. I'm going to suffer through this. Don't shout me down. Now, most women went, the men went, it don't matter. You do whatever you want to do. And you don't care if you're tired, sleepy, hungry, whatever. You want to do something, you're willing to put some power behind it. So let me say it again. Modern Christianity today is long on talk, short on conduct. They use the language of power and produce the deeds of weakness. But 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, how do I keep that going all the time? By stirring up the gifts of God within you. Some of you don't even know the gifts God have given you. In 1 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Paul telling that to his protege. You see, he's waiting for Paul to stir it up. He said, no, you have to stir it up. That's 1 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee into remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said, stir it up. Stir it up. People say, how come but just stay joyful all the time? I stir up the gift of God. I stir it up when I'm home. I stir it up. I say, come on, glory to God. Gloria Copeland, the other day, come up to me. She said, Jesse, you can't keep running like you're running. And I know that. I'm doing 90 to nothing. She said, we love you. We want you to be with us a long, long time. You are running. I'm doing it. Woo! I run my staff slap crazy. I got them going. If I took the church staff of Covenant Church and they followed me 1 week, they'd be at the altar for healing the next Sunday. It take 5 or 6 guys just in the road, people, just to keep. I got David, I got 2 pilots, 2 mechanics now, and a flight attendant. And they just running all the time. And bless God, I mean, so how do you do it? Well, I don't know how I do it. I'm not bragging on myself. It's that the Lord gives me grace to do that, but he also gives me some sense. So what I do, I'm flying home. I got to grab some sleep because I'm going to be here. I don't care if we're getting there 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to still be here about 9. You know what I'm saying? When the office opens. So what I do is I just lay on the sofa. Just grab a, I'm like, a man said, can you sleep good? I said, I'm like a horse, man. I can sleep standing up in the dark. I have learned to do what I need to do on that stuff. And then I don't get all disturbed. The captain said, did they feed you? No, I just grabbed a granola bar. Or just, I don't have time, man. I'm moving. Come on. So now, you know, Arella is now the flight attendant of JDM Airlines. And she'll come and she'll say, you want some soup? You want this? You want that? She'll ask me, I want something. No, I'm doing fine. She said, but Jesse, you are low maintenance. But these pilots are high maintenance. She says that. These pilots always wanting something. They're high maintenance. And one of them's her husband. That's okay. Now Kathy gets, oh Lord Jesus. Kathy's holding, she got to sit in the plane. I'll have some orange juice with pulp in it. And I don't want it in a plastic glass. I like it in some crystal. And give me a plate of fruit or Fabergé china and I want some silverware. Me, get me a cardboard box, put some granola and some milk in there. That's fine with me, but not. And ask Kathy, Kathy don't want to eat the potato chips out the bag. She says, put it in a plate and bring it to me. And I used to think, what is wrong with that woman? I'm the problem. I own all that and I'm eating out of a cardboard box. She said, Kathy said, you need to come up hither. Come on, ladies. I gave her a good plug there. Glory to God. You need to come up hither. I said, okay. Sure. She said, why don't you eat on this china? I said, well, so Arella won't have to wash it. That's her job. She don't mind. I said, I know, but it just make it easy. If I ate it on a piece of cardboard, just throw it away. Then I don't do, she said, I don't do it at home. At home, well, you don't do nothing at home neither, Kathy. She said, I don't do that at home. Kathy don't do nothing at home neither. Lord of God. I said, ain't nothing at home. I tell you, if a roach gets in my house, he'll live a long time. There ain't nothing going on. God's ears are, let me get away from that part. God's ears are bigger than yours. So when you understand, you stir up the gift of God. You never substitute praying for obeying. Write that down. A lot of people will substitute praying for obeying. They know what to do, but they won't do it, so they keep praying. Like as if they're trying to throw God off of the situation. Oh, Jesus, I want you to go over there and give him $100. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, amazing love. Jesus, I want you over there and give him $100. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that I'm going to disobey. No. You're trying to throw God off of it. No, no. You substituted praying for obeying. You know, sometimes you got to beat them kids. Let me get on that for a minute. I'm not talking about hurting them and killing them, but you got to discipline them. But oh, Jesus, 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 what am I going to do about that boy? God said, get a stick. Get a stick. Spare the rod. Spoil the child. Oh, but I don't want to do that. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to hurt his mind. We ain't dealing with his head. Now, I'm not talking about hurting and beating somebody's brains out, but I mean, there are some times. Amen. See, you got to get you something in the house that your children respect. All right, now. That you can just take it out and show it to them. Oh. We used to have a dog in our house that was afraid of newspaper. I used to keep one rolled up all the time. And sometime, boy, he'd be just kind of messing around his room. I open up the door and just show him the newspaper. I wouldn't do nothing to him, just show him the newspaper. You know what I'm saying? Don't substitute praying for obeying. Well, watch this. Don't just pray for revival. Create revival. How you do that? By stirring up the gifts of God in your life. Do you see that? So, God's ears are bigger than yours. Isaiah 65:24, shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. And when you understand that, then all these other scriptures are coming to existence here. And before you know it, you're not moving by physical hunches anymore. You are hearing the voice of God. And then the day will come when you will hear this.
Run. Run.
That ain't Pia. That's somebody else.
Oh, you're getting close now. Man, God. Then you get like Samuel. It can happen when you're a child. God will start talking to you with physical ears, physical voice. Oh, that's wonderful. Don't give you any more faith. But it does give you more blessing. You think, man, God trusts me enough to come talk to me face to face. Say, talk to Moses face to face. God's no respecter of person. But how many people want to be a Moses? Oh, I'd love to be. Oh, look what Moses went through. Moses gave up everything in Israel, everything in Egypt, and never made it to the promised land. Got to the brink of it. Looked over, but couldn't go in because of disobedience. Let me just say this. The higher God places you in ministry, the severer will the penalties come when you mess up. I speak against myself. I didn't even want to say that, but that's true. I thought God was pretty hard on Moses. And my God, he went out there 40 years, them stupid, stiff-necked, crazy people. My Lord, you should have let him go in. No, he knew better than to strike that rock. He knew better than to do that. Now, we know he's in heaven because he was on Mount Transfiguration. But he still has not physically walked in Canaan, or Canaan, however you want to call it. Think about that for a minute. Joshua went over. And then God told Joshua, you old, and there's still much left to be done. What's your problem? Think about that. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? I said, so you have to do what God tells you to do. His ears are bigger than yours, so he's hearing. And he wants to answer. Let me make this announcement and close with this. He wants to answer every prayer request. He really does. Well, you have to pray according to his will. Well, if your will is lined up with his will, you're only going to pray what he asks. You're only going to pray what's already been created in God to come out through you. Just that simple. You see what I'm saying? And when you understand that, then you'll know God's hearing you. So if you think the Lord hadn't heard you today, he heard you before you ever thought about saying something today. He's ahead and never behind. He made us the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. First shall be last, the last shall be first. So don't blame anything else. I find that things are not working. The first person I check on is me. Because I figure if anybody can stop somebody, Jesse can stop Jesse. I do it all the time. And sometimes, I'll say this in close. I've had some people say, I'm too merciful. Merciful. I'm too merciful with employees. Well, we do everything. Most ministers told me I'd fire more people than you. They done went through 14 different staffs in the last 10 years. Well, and sometimes it's a headache, but I walk in the lines that God wants me to walk. There comes a time when you may have to separate, but you don't want that. You do everything you can until trying to get somebody to understand why you're doing what you're doing. It's not easy being a CEO. Because the whole total complete thing's on your shoulders. But what they don't understand, I just take it and put it on God's. But you know who can mess this ministry up worse than anybody? Not David, the head of aviation. Not Suzanne, the head of evangelism. Not Jody, the planner's walker, director of evangelism, prayer department, all the other things. Not Ricky Bartley, director of maintenance and all them other things. Not Jules Bokeh, director or supervisor of a manager, whatever, television. Not Pastor David and Pastor Betty, pastors of Covenant Church. Not Donna, whatever Donna does. You know, she does a lot of things. Women's ministries, all kinds of stuff, things of that nature. Not Sister Pastor Ty Tyler. No. Not Tim, who's taking care of your kids. And all that. No. Not Kelly, ahead of IT. Not Margie, ahead of the art department. Not Jessica, head of finance director, or finance department. Who else? Glory to God. Who?
Youth, Clint and
Amarillo. Not Clint and Amarillo youth. No, you know. You know who can blow this sucker to pieces? All I got to do is chase a woman. All I got to do is steal some money. This ministry's finished. It no longer can be Jesse Duplantis. Oh, we'll forgive you, bud, Jesse. Yeah, but you'll never forget it. And you'll never respect me like you did before. That's fact. So, who's in the most dangerous position? Me. You like that? That ain't fun. You can't be perfect in a moment, but you can be holy in a moment. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So if I get a thought in my mind, and don't let this white hair fool you, because I ain't dead, there may be snow on the mountain, but there's fire in the furnace. I heard somebody say that. I kind of like that. What you laughing at, David? You got the same thing. Glory to God. Yeah. If I get in my mind, I want to look at a woman, and I just grab and I say, your body is not your own. Come here, girl. Use that as an example. That's my woman. Amen. I'm her man. Hallelujah. Hey, and if I want some money, Kathy, give me some money. She told me that yesterday. I got all yours too, buddy. I know where all yours is. Yeah. That's right. In other words, God has put something between me and sin. Kathy. In that area. That's right. That's a fact. That's a fact. Who can destroy it? I can name names of great ministries that never could come back to the potential they were. Did God forgive them? Yeah, I believe He did. But you see, the penalty of sin may depart, but the scar will remain. But you don't have to do those things. So when I'm alone, how do you protect yourself? Oh, when I get a bad thought, oh, that's not my thought. My thought's lovely, just, good, report, and pure. I cast down this imagination. See, I use the word. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Then I begin to pump myself up. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And if God be for you, Jesse, who could be against you? Who? You're more than a conqueror. Lord God. And beside, God so loved me, He gave His only begotten Son. So why would I want to disappoint God? Why would I want to disappoint Kathy? Why would I want to disappoint Jody and Ed? Why would I want to disappoint you? That ain't gonna happen. You see, I've learned to take ownership over myself. I'm still human. You understand what I'm saying? I'm still human. But I don't live like a human. I live like a born again speaking spirit. Amen. That's how I live. God's ears are bigger than ours. Did you enjoy it? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Oh, glory. Stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a blessing of God. I like that sermon. Ain't nothing but physical hunches, buddy. No, it'll come to pass. Let me tell all those that are concerned about the things that are happening in the world, let not your heart be troubled. Want a revelation? A little quick one that I'm going to talk to my partners about in October. Let not your heart be troubled. Now, why wouldn't God stay on that subject? The next verse, He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. Then He changed the subject again. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that you may be also. When the world starts talking about trouble, and you start worrying about it, God starts talking about prosperity. You should see that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Yeah. Believe also in me. And you think, well, man, what about, in my Father's house of many mansions. If you start worrying about what's going on, God starts talking about prosperity. And then as soon as He finishes prosperity, He starts talking about His return. Whatever has your focus affects your faith. Whatever affects your faith affects your harvest. You've heard me say that many times. Here's a new statement. The Lord gave it to me the other day. Dawn never comes twice to awaken a person. It's coming once. And that's the only time of the day that it will come. It don't come twice to make you awake. You don't have a time but on dawn. Sleep time. It never comes twice. In other words, God reveals. He reveals. He doesn't leave you standing out there. Joy cometh in the morning. But notice that. He was talking about problems of that day. Then he said, he switched to prosperity in my father's house of many mansions. That makes you feel good. Oh, yeah. Oh, I go to prepare a place. Oh, now that's security. Good Lord. Now you're talking about the return. Did you notice he didn't spend very much time on the trouble? Let not your heart be troubled. Semicolon. You believe in me? You believe in my father? Believe also in me. Boom. Then he took, man, he has a lot more to the picture. Ladies and gentlemen, it don't get no better than knowing God. It don't get no better. Take the person's hand next to you. Let me pray over you right now. I didn't mean to hold you so long. I apologize. No, I ain't gonna apologize. That was good stuff. You needed that. Father, I ask you to save people today and heal people. I thank you for total restoration of everyone's bodies that's having trouble right now. Satan, I get great pleasure in telling you to get under people's feet. I bind you today by the power of Jesus' name. I call heaven and earth record today that you have to stay under our feet. You have no right to be in our lives whatsoever at all. Father, there's people here that don't know you. I ask you to forgive them of all their sins. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I confess my sin before you this day. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. Lift your hands up right now and accept your salvation, your healing, your financial prosperity, whatever that you desire. Lord, I thank you. God, before we talk, you're here. Thank you, Lord, that we will no longer be limited in our intelligence, because our souls will be renewed like our spirits. I thank you for it, Father. In the power of Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Today is your day. We rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a standing ovation.